The WYSL stations bring you Jose Pio and Laval Lewis and your weekly dose of PCP. It's your hour of common sense with the politically correcting podcast and show.
You got the power to let power go.
Good to go. All right. Lavelle, how was your weekend?
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, we had the St. Patty's Day parade that we're both in for our, I believe, our candidate. We won't get into his name quite yet because I think that there's a opportunity there for us to maybe do a press conference and help him announce his candidacy.
That would be nice.
I think it'd be a good time.
I think so, too.
I think it's a great opportunity for anyone out there who is more down the line, who can appeal to both Democrats and Republicans, who can speak to common sense and decency and reaching across the aisle. And, you know, on an episode a couple weeks ago, I talked about a candidate, my type of candidate that I would get involved with if I were to ever, you know, get behind the scenes politically and, you know, help a campaign out. And I think this person kind of fits the description. So we'll see. But the parade was awesome. I think the people were hyped. It was weird having it so late in the afternoon, though.
Yeah, it was. It seemed like it was on Irish people time.
Yeah, it started 1:30 p.m. You know, people had already been out on the streets drinking since, you know.
That's never happened before, right?
Yeah, they usually had it earlier. I remember it being earlier, but, you know, it went from 1:30 till 3. And
it was quite the long experience.
It was a long day.
It's the biggest outdoor event in Rochester.
Is it?
Yeah. It looked like it.
It was hype out there. There was a lot of people.
I like the, you know, the perspective of walking down East Avenue and you see both sides of the street, like, filled with people. But then when you got to, like, Liberty Pole, that's when it really looked like it was like, okay, this is something, you know, pretty cool.
Well, I think Rochester in general just loves to see events that they can be outdoors for, even in the wintertime. I think that one of the things that we're missing out on in this area is not having that brand, you know, not knowing who we are as an area. We kind of just rested on the laurels of having Kodak be our representation. You know, we were the camera city, we were the film city, and now we're kind of just like wavering in the wind trying to figure out who we are. Are we photonics now? Are we telecommunications? Are we an HR company? Are we, you know, big pharmaceutical city? What are we? And it seems like, to me at least, it seems as though we're kind of pushing a brand in this area that's kind of like being pushed down our throats. Like, mm-hmm. Who are we is not connecting to what they're pushing down our throat. It, I don't know. It just seems a little off in the area. So I would love to hear your ideas. This is actually not even in my notes.
Are you going off the cuff?
I'm going off the cuff because I feel like there's an opportunity here. And since actually one of the things that this can connect to is the fact that they're trying to ban TikTok, which in my opinion, you know, I understand their talking points, which is the Chinese government can force them to give up our data to them and they can use it against, you know, against the American public. But how is that any different from what YouTube, Google, Meta, how is that any different? You know, and this is the avenue that we can take in having discussion amongst the public is saying, you know, this is what I think we should do. This is how I feel. This is in my life what's going on. And TikTok seemed to be displaying quite a bit. Like they would, I would find a lot of things on TikTok that is not in my Google search.
Yeah. Well, I just say don't trust the media or what the government is saying. Look deeply into the bill. Look who's backing it. Look who's supporting it. There's a lot of information out there regarding the issue with a support for one particular side versus the other, and one particular side has a lot more power than the other side, doesn't like that, so they're pushing the United States government to kind of take control of TikTok to kind of even up that propaganda that they don't want out there.
I'm going to take a guess at what you might be talking about because I did go down the TikTok route of finding out what people on TikTok think. Mm-hmm. And one of the things was this guy that I follow canceled this clothing company. Guy that dives deep into like conspiracy theories and all this. Really good. Really, he does a great job. And he brought up the fact that the person that's pushing forward the bill has been getting a ton of money from the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish community, the Zionist community. He's been getting a lot of money from that group. Mm-hmm. On top of that, the fact that I think it was 10 million people per month listening to or are making videos or are watching videos that pertain to Free Palestine.
Yes.
Is that where you were going?
Yes, and it's a problem because it's the youth that is kind of following it more so, and they have that problem where you don't want the youth to be indoctrinated the wrong way. And I've been on this topic in just trying to at least make it okay for us to have the conversation about our relations with Israel as a country, outside of everything that everyone gets worked up when we talk about the religious aspects of this conflict that gets used as a shield for the government of
Israel. Take that away.
Israel. Take that away. When you're talking about our First Amendment rights, the state of Israel should have nothing to do with that. We should be completely isolated from that. So when you look at certain things that even Donald Trump gets criticized, he should get some criticism for. The anti-Israel boycott bills and also within the state as well. They pushed this out there, the anti-Semitic measures that they're trying to kind of push within our republic, our constitution. That's a problem. That's totally opposite from your beliefs within the theological aspect of this conflict. This has to do with our fundamental rights and values as a country, period, point blank. Nothing else outside of that.
What freaks me out about the whole thing is the fact that we've been screaming for politicians to represent us, right? For pushing legislation and bills that are bipartisan in nature. I want to see, I'm so personally so sick and tired of seeing bills that get passed that are, you know, 100% of Republicans support it and like five Democrats that made some kind of deal support it, or the complete opposite, you know, in the Senate would be, you know, 100% of Democrats are behind it and maybe five Republicans get behind it. With this TikTok ban, I believe it was like 82% of all politicians were in agreement with it. Like they all supported it for the most part. Mm-hmm. And only a few were like, what's happening here? And a lot of people are seeing this. And we're finally seeing politicians coming together for a common goal. But again, it doesn't seem to be the common goal of the people.
Well, it's always what the lobbyists want. You know, these politicians, folks who are in our Congress and who are in our House of Representatives, these folks are just kind of, a lot of them, like regular, everyday working people. Like, they don't have businesses, whatever. So the only way they can kind of make money with the folks who's bringing them the money, you know, is to accept deals, is to kind of keep their grift going. There's a whole lot of grifters in D.C. because we got a whole lot of grifters here on the lower level here in Rochester. Oh, and a lot of these people, I don't even know, like, what do they do that's well? What makes them a great leader? What makes them...
It's their rhetoric, bro.
Yes,
it's their rhetoric.
That's all they have.
And that's the problem with where Rochester is going. We were already downsliding, right? We were already going down this gutter. And then here comes, out of nowhere, BLM with their, you know, community leaders who push an agenda that seems so far out there, and people got behind it to the point where we have two members of BLM on city council.
You're triggering me today.
And now there's like at least all of them have BLM signs or had BLM signs on their front house, and it's like, where did you come from? How did you come into the part where you are a leader in Rochester when you just came here? Mm-hmm. You just got here and somehow you were, you know, backed and supported by who knows what. And somehow everybody just falls in line with your rhetoric of we need to change this, that, and the other. Yeah, absolutely. I think most people would say that Rochester in general, the greater Rochester area does need the change, but not the change that they're looking for, no. that they're pushing, because it's only getting worse. We see it. You see it with your eyes. Stop listening to politicians. You see it with your eyes. What is going on in the city? It's in the dumps, and it smells like crap, and it looks like crap. I'm going to leave that right there.
Preach.
We're going to come back after this break with Laval Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio, and the two Bobbies here behind the scenes, that we'll come back and we'll discuss good cause eviction, which is another thing that these foreign leaders are coming into our city and pushing. We'll be right back with the WYSL radio station here. 346-3000 is the number to call.
The quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law? That in 2020, there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties, that there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted. These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
Youth for Christ Rochester needs to grow. Our kids are telling us they don't feel safe in their neighborhoods or rec centers, and they're asking us to be open more. And thanks to your support, we will. We're adding a weeknight and Saturday mornings to our basketball program. We're adding a second Arts Academy Friday night. And we're adding a second P31 girls class on Saturdays. But we need your help. $25 per month funds a kid for a year. Give your best gift to yfcrochester.org/donate.
Advertising on the WYSL stations is both affordable and effective, but it's so much more than that. When your business or professional practice has a presence on the Voice of Liberty, you connect with a patriotic, awake, and aware audience that cares about society, our families, our schools, our values, and our future. And our listeners appreciate you and respond. We can end the madness together. For truth and freedom, the WYSL stations, the Voice of Liberty. Call 346-3000 to advertise today.
Politically correcting.
Not yet. There we go. We are back with the episode that will trigger Laval Lewis to go haywire. Mm. So if you're not watching on our different social medias accounts here to see his facial mannerisms, wait till you see this one, all right? Because this is a topic of conversation that's being pushed now at the state level. And it has been kind of behind the scenes, I can promise you, because we had a discussion at the city council level about this issue. Mm-hmm. And it is certainly something that is gaining traction, that was gaining traction probably 2 years ago. About three years ago. And this is called good cause eviction, which is, again, being pushed by our state senators. This year is another big push. This would ban landlords from evicting tenants for any reason except for lease violations like not paying rent. Now, what they'll tell you, I'm not even going to read my notes here. What they'll tell you, because I've had these conversations before, and I said, well, shouldn't I have, you know, the rights to my property if I want to evict somebody because, I don't know, I want to put my mom in there, you know, because she needs a place to live, or... You know, the fact that, I don't know, I might want to escape New York State and I just want to sell the property. They want you to, number one, let someone live there forever unless they say break the lease by not paying rent or break the lease from other measures. And I said, well, there's caveats in a lease that say, you know, if you're causing a commotion, if you're not providing upkeep, you know, if you're late all the time, and they're like, well, you know, there's those caveats too, but we really want to keep it for people being able to stay in their homes. And I said, well, it's not their homes.
No.
Like, as much as you want to say it's their homes, and I get it. Like, if you've been living in the same place, the last thing you want to do is move every year. That I grew up that way, and it was the worst. It sucks. Until my parents came together and said, we are going to buy a house. And they can say that I was privileged to have two parents in a household. One of them was not my biological father. But say I'm privileged to have two parents in a household. I was privileged to be able to have parents that were able to afford a home. Sure. Fine. Let's go with that. Privilege. You should want the same privileges. This right here is going to tell a landlord that you cannot evict somebody without having to go to court pretty much every single time. Where you can't say, you know what, I just don't think you and I have kind of been on the same page. Every month I'm kind of fighting for you to pay the rent, and it's always like a couple days late. I understand you're having job issues. I understand that, you know, your ex or your husband left you, whatever it may be. I understand all that. But you got to pay your rent on time. If you can't pay your rent on time, I have to get somebody else in here who can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my perspective. And that's the part where empathy, yes, we need to have empathy. And we need to, and there's tons of landlords out there, housing providers, who will work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a slumlord who's going to sit there and say, because we've been in houses before that were disgusting.
That house, we should have went back and had lunch. It was like, it was probably the most disgusting house I've ever been in.
Bro, I got back and I would not walk inside with my boots on.
Yeah. And it kind of proved that there's definitely a need for a male within a household sometimes, because this was a single mom and
with how many kids?
Oh, she had way too many kids. She had like 5 kids.
And they were just like sleeping everywhere, it seemed like, on the porch. I think she like converted a porch into a bedroom.
Bro, I'm all for dogs having a home, but some dogs don't need owners like that. Like, I would prefer that dog to, you know, take his chances at Verona Street and find a better home, because it was that disgusting.
It was that disgusting.
And kind of to this ongoing attempt by members of city council who are well-known activist Marxists, supporters of BLM, also probably former BLM general members. This is nothing but an attempt to destroy the American dream. This is anti-capitalism. This is what people who don't understand how you can help or change poverty is by getting more homeowners, but more than anything, the ability to utilize the service of providing a home from someone else that may need it. So you're making it harder for folks within the inner city to profit from the ability of providing a house for someone else. This is you. What's the point of having a contract?
Exactly. That was a big part during COVID. And I said, you're literally, the government is coming in between a contract. The government should not have their heavy hand or their heavy thumb on the scale of private entities getting into contract with private entities. That is a contract. If you, the government, come in and say, this person no longer needs to abide by the contract, fine. Then the other person doesn't need to abide by the contract either.
Yeah.
You can't have a supplier and then a person that is, taking up that supply, and then you say, well, the person that's taking up that supply doesn't need to pay you anymore. What's that supplier supposed to do? I do have a quote here from the article. It's a lady who came from Albania. Her quote is, what we're seeing now is that you have the socialists and the Democratic Party, and now they're communist allies who are trying to take away our security, said Bronx landlord Valentina Gorshash. I'm going to go ahead and say that's her last name. I have no idea. Who fled communist-ruled Albania with her parents, in part due to the lack of property rights. She says, property ownership is at the core of our ethnicity. It was always said, if you had land, at least you had food to eat. This is a 57-year-old woman who was a landlord. She said, that fundamental belief is being shattered for us here in the United States.
Didn't we just talk about how BlackRock is buying up a lot of residential homes? So just kind of like
44% that they said 44% of all single family home sales in America was to a fund.
Yeah, and this is we're well on our way, because guess what happens when that housing provider has to tap out because they're unable to collect a profit they're going to sell. And if you have a company like BlackRock just gobbling it all up, BlackRock won't have to worry about those measures of, you know, the not being able to evict anyone. They have way more power than us. So they can get in and tell folks like Stanley Martin, go shove your little, you know, law or rule up your, you know what, because we're paying your salary on the back end. We are literally financing all of you Marxists that are in our city that's trying to destroy capitalism. This is all anti-capitalism. And they're finding a way to make, to vilify that word and kind of push people in the direction of accepting a socialistic society because they're giving up the idea of doing something for themselves.
Your personal property is yours to keep. The fact that we have government involved, and this is the libertarian in me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where the government can come in and not only tax you, but also increase taxes every year, but then also during a shutdown tell you that you still got to pay your taxes even though your tenants don't have to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a ton of emails during COVID from, you know, different housing providers who are sitting here saying, what am I supposed to do? I still have insurance I got to pay. I still got a mortgage I still got to pay. I have to make sure RG&E is paid for because even if the tenant decides to never pay it, it comes back to me, mm-hmm. the landlord. So I have to make sure RG&E is paid for, and I'm not getting any revenue from these people who are supposed to be paying rent. What am I supposed to do? My only answer to them was, talk to your assemblyman, talk to your senator. I don't know what to tell you because this is literally anti-American to come in between a contract and put your thumb on one side. It's wrong to the core that you should have full access to your property. The other thing they're going to try and push is you have to sell it to the tenant before you sell it, before you put it on the market.
And they, and this comes from people who have no idea how it actually works.
No, and I talked to one of them. This is the thing. Is I talked to a council member about property, how to purchase it for a family member, let's just say. They had no idea how to get it done. Mm. No idea how to get it done. I'm sitting there. I'm like, you're on city council.
And you have the nerve to criticize the process, and you come up with a better solution.
And then on top of that, when you talk about, we need to cap rents at a certain dollar amount, right? We need to cap rents at a certain dollar amount. And I said, well, if you cap the rents at a certain dollar amount so that a housing provider cannot make as much profit, don't you think the quality of housing would go down?
Well, they should go down to New York City and see how the public housing worked down there.
Yeah. Which they did put the cap on the housing. You see, mm-hmm. there's certain people that have the privilege of staying in that rental unit forever. Because yes. why would they ever leave when they're paying $600 a month for a beautiful apartment
yes.
that right now that landlord can turn around and you know rent it out for $3,000?
I've been visiting New York City projects for years. I mean, ever since I was like 8 years old, I've been in New York City projects. And let me tell you, the pissy smells in the hallways were there when I was 8 years old. And I was just there this past Thanksgiving weekend. And the smell has intensified since then. Yeah. You know, and this is...
That's going to be their answer. Their answer is going to be government housing, or these big money funds are going to come in and buy all the single family housing. What you're going to see next are build to rent. They're yeah. literally going to be building houses in order to rent them out because they're going to get so much money. Houses in my street, I'm telling you, houses in my street are going for $2,000 a month. $2,000 a month. My mortgage, including insurance, including taxes, $752.
So you're literally 70% below what the rental market is. And the reason why the rents are going up is because, again, the cost for materials is increased. You mm-hmm. gotta fix certain things. The taxes have gone up.
Insurance has gone skyrocketing up.
So who's going to take care of those costs, those differences? Oh, me, the owner, the one who did all, who's doing all of the legwork. This is a service for you, right? So they're not cutting the price of the cost of milk and poultry, steak, none of that.
Nope.
They're not doing that.
Nope.
They're not putting a cap on how much we pay for groceries.
Nope. They want to go after capitalism. You're absolutely right. It is anti-capitalism going on in this country right now. And we're allowing these socialists to jump in and take over our Democratic Party.
Ooh. Oh, they got it. Yeah.
We'll be right back after this break. WYSL radio station 346-3000. If you're a housing provider, you can feel free to call in and give your insight as well. We'll be right back after this break. Soldiers passing by, listening to the wind of change.
Politically correcting.
Ooh, baby, I love your way every day.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the ways that socialists are able to overtake the Democrat Party is because they got a lot of money behind them. Mm-hmm. A lot of money behind them. And this is a topic that we've actually had before, Lavelle Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio, regarding how Republicans can actually at least compete with what Democrats are doing. And we see where the money is coming from on the Democrat side. You got the same big names, you know, with every conspiracy theory. And it seems to be actually coming true. Well, there's a new one on the list here. Did you know Jeff Bezos had launched the Courage and Civility Award in 2021 to support full-on rapist. I'm sorry, full-on rampant.
I thought you said rapist.
Full-on rapists. No, philanthropist. All right. Uh-huh. So to support them, he is committed to giving away the majority of his billions of dollars. This year's recipient is Eva Longoria, who received a $50 million grant to do with it as she pleases. Now, let's get into what's Bezos' reason for launching his organization. He said, quote, "We need unifiers and not vilifiers, people who argue hard and act hard for what they truly believe, but always with civility and never ad hominem attacks. And unfortunately, we live in a world where this is too often the case." Now, Van Jones from CNN was the first recipient of the prize, the guy who, you know, pushed for the quote unquote compassionate release of prison inmates during COVID. Now, was he ever held accountable for the atrocities that occurred from that action? Of course not. But let's give him, you know, multi-millions of dollars to do with it as he pleased. And we also had country singer Dolly Parton. Now, I know I'm about to get the gays all up in freaking uproar by bringing up, like, their freaking main person, Dolly Parton, but...
Well, the fact that you called them the gays, that's probably what will get them...
Gay people love Dolly Parton. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but they don't want to be called the
gays. The gays?
Yeah, they don't want to be lumped into that.
You'll be all right. All right, you'll
slur.
Be all right.
That's what they'll call it, a slur.
Well, she took home the 2022 award after donating $1 million towards Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine research and books to millions of children through her foundation Imagination Library. Now, what kind of books might you ask? Well, Miss Nina West, who is RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11 Miss Congeniality winner, has released a new children's book, The You Kind of Kind, and it has been blessed by none other than the queen of country music, Dolly Parton. This isn't the first time the two queens have worked together. Back in 2020, Parton and West collaborated on Kindness is Queen, a merch collection benefiting Ojibwe youth. Now, they also state drag queens have become the latest target for Republican attacks, with drag queen story hours becoming political firestorms. Quote, "I think the time period is very, very relevant to the book's release in this specific era, the specific day and age where drag queens are being attacked for doing story times at libraries and where really any sense of expression of identity is under attack by the far right," said West. Here's my question. Who is attacking them for expressing their identity at the multiple gay bars and clubs and event venues where drag shows are currently held? Tell me specifically who and where and when, and I'll be there to fight them myself, because grown folks should have every right to display grown-up expressions at private grown-up establishments. What we should not have are glowing LED lights behind a stage that read, "This D isn't going to suck itself," with grown men dressed scantily, dancing for little children, and claiming it's simply trying to spread love. That I will not fight for, because that expression, quote, is not for our youth, period. And if you're fighting against that point, then why wouldn't we have male strippers with banana hammocks reading to kids. I mean, their dance routines are expressions, right?
Mm-hmm.
At what point are we going to get to that?
Well, you got with this here, you like it's like several layers of conversation within this next segment that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't even get to what Eva Longoria won her award for.
I know. Well, this is a prime example of how poverty pays, and how we talked about this when you were at the
intersectionality pays.
Yeah, when you were away and trying to come back into the country as a illegal immigrant.
I still haven't received my debit card.
The whole purpose of what I was trying to highlight was showing how communism or Marxism entered the civil rights movement, and how agitation was something that the Republican black leaders did not see as a working method in trying to, you know, support whatever conflict they had with racism and that type of conflict back during the day within the South.
I heard black history is gay history.
Well, again, that's the Trojan horse behind that, where you're using black folks again to push your agenda. It's the exact same thing that was being done back then. This isn't anything that just happened overnight. They've had years and years and decades to prepare for what we have right now. They have over 60 plus years of just work that they've been able to try and perfect and put certain quote unquote black leaders in place. Whereas even today we have local leaders who call themselves educators, people like Howard Eagle, who walk around as if they're like this.
He's gonna call out everybody
100%. Like, I don't care. Like, he kind of called us out in his little fake editorial, called us freaking frack and wouldn't even address me by my name. But he, you know,
I still don't know what that means.
It's an old, like,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he said.
But anyway, they've been able to kind of get people like that to come out there and do their dirty work for them.
Yeah.
For a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
They're like,
because they want to agitate.
They want to agitate. All they do is agitate. They're following that same model. MLK got paid to do what he was doing back then. A lot of these black organizations back in the day was broke until NAACP came through and started to help them and fund them. When you had one of the Goldman Sachs brothers finance NAACP, the overall goal was, hey, let's control these Negroes, okay, before they do get together and put together a bank or a Black Wall Street, or be individuals and not depend on the government, so that, you know, they're unable to create their own wealth.
When you fund it, you can control it.
You can control it, exactly. So what do you think is being done right now? Well, then with BLM, BLM got paid millions. And the folks who are leading the national organization of BLM turned into capitalists because they started to buy property.
Real quick.
What are you going to do with that money? Oh, well, let me turn into a capitalist within that.
Their freaking baby daddies became capitalists because they were hired.
Right.
Their companies were hired to perform, you know, security for the company. Their family members became capitalists because they all started different businesses, mm-hmm, and were all getting paid off of BLM. And as soon as it got aired out that they bought a whole bunch of property, mansions, in closed off gated communities,
mm-hmm,
well, we didn't hear very much from the BLM organization anymore. But these organizations, when we have Jeff Bezos giving out all of his money, they're getting this money to do whatever they want. Eva Longoria is pushing the Latinx.
It's a great tax write-off. And just we got to go back to what we were talking about, you know, the drag queens and, mm-hmm, this D ain't gonna suck itself. Well, all of this is part of this attack on our kids, on our youth. Well, they're already trying to get consent to let them choose their gender.
Yeah, we'll get the into next that right part after this is, break here with Lavelle Lewis, myself, the Jose P.O. Bobby, I know you got to get out of here. We got Bobby D back there is going to control the rest of this, I believe. And we'll be back at the WYSL station. 346-3000 is the number to call.
Don't
To live the quality of life we deserve in truth and freedom, informed by our Constitution, our laws, and traditions, we need to pick the best leaders possible. Recent experience certainly illustrates that. Free and accurate elections are essential if we're going to restore our society and safeguard our rights. New York Citizens Audit is a volunteer, nonpartisan group which has been lobbying for open-source audits of the State Board of Elections and reform of the electoral process statewide. Did you know Citizens Audit has uncovered over 1 million felony violations of election law, that in 2020 there were 625,000 more voter registrations than existing voting age citizens in just six New York counties, that there were 338,000 more votes cast than voters who voted. These are just a few shocking examples of the urgent need for reform. You can help. Visit auditny.com and learn the facts, how to volunteer, and make a difference in your community. Again, volunteer, donate, or spread the word. Start at auditny.com. That's auditny.com.
The 2024 Batavia Downs Summer Concert Series has been announced. Come see bands like Smash Mouth, The Bacon Brothers, 38 Special, April Wine, and country music star Clay Walker. There will also be tribute acts paying homage to Fleetwood Mac, Tom Petty, Heart, The Doors, Chicago, and Styx. It's going to be a great summer, all summer long at Batavia Downs. Get more information and tickets today at BataviaConcerts.com. That's BataviaConcerts.com.
If you're looking to market and grow your business, make new business connections, and give back to the community in a meaningful way, consider joining the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce. We're the largest suburban chamber in Monroe County, and we offer networking, education, marketing, insurance, and advocacy. You do not need to live or work in Greece to join. Our members come from throughout the region. In short, we're better together, and together, we're moving business forward. Visit GreeceChamber.org or call 585-227-7272 to join today.
Politically correcting.
Photographer smile, take a break for a while. All right, we are back. We're going to jump back into the conversation here, kind of get into the intersectionality of the BLM, where they kind of connected the struggle of the Ojibwa community, and they connected it with the Black community somehow. How did that happen to where they equated the two, where they're saying, hey, Black community, you guys struggled and we struggled. How about we get together and we make you guys kind of defend us? Because it seems like everything that is Black History Month is kind of connected to Ojibwa Month. And somehow, I'm going to go off the tangent a little bit here. If you look at the posts from our City of Rochester page on like Instagram, Facebook, whatever it may be, doesn't it seem like every single day they're celebrating Black history? Like every single post is celebrating either Black history or Ojibwa. Like everything, every day.
Well, are they actually celebrating history or are they celebrating trauma?
That's a very good point. That's up to you to decide, because they're not talking to me. No. Because I don't have this struggle that they claim I'm supposed to have, where Black and brown people need to come together against a struggle. What struggle?
Yeah, and just
think, everyone struggles every single day. Yeah. We all struggle. Are we going to have government just fix it for us? Yeah. No. Figure it out.
Well, you just look into the definition of trauma-based control and how it is used to manipulate the minds of folks, you know, consciously. And what you think consciously will have an effect on your subconscious. So I raised this question to a gentleman. I said, you know, as a Black man, are you going to admit that someone is superior than you are?
That's exactly what you're doing.
You're going to admit that another white man is superior than you? Or even if you, who cares if he thinks he's superior than you? Fine, he should. He should. He should be. That's an alpha male for you. Okay, there you go. Move on. What does that do for you? So you're gonna think lesser of yourself because some other guy is arrogant and he feels that he's better than you, smarter than you. What type of man are you if you accept that for yourself?
Not a man at all, in my opinion. I don't care what anyone says. Everyone's out there will claim, well, you can't define what a man is. You can't say what it is could be masculine. Well, you can. There are certain things that as a man you have to step up for.
Well, going back to my guy Howard Eagle. Look at him. Look at him. I hope the BLM agitators.
He's not from Rochester. Listening. That's my whole thing. Yeah, all these people outside of Rochester come here and then bring their politics with them that is not working and never has worked.
Yeah.
And somehow you want to bring it to Rochester where it's, you know, the majority black, majority Democrat, and they're going to say, well, let's just infiltrate this organization because it's not working here, and we can introduce this new mentality to these people and say, we have the answer for you. Mm. And the problem was always government, but then the answer is the government too. Just mm-hmm. listen to us. We got Mike on the line. What you got for us, brother?
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, the BLM and the LGBTQ, whatever, they do have a link. The original three founding members were all of...
black lesbians.
Well, okay. All right. I was going to put it a different way, but yes.
What is there? Right, there's no other way to put it. That's what they are.
There's no other way of putting it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so to think our men, our black men, will sit and allow that.
And have them as your leaders?
Yes, and continue and follow that rhetoric. That's why I said, you look at people like Howard Eagle, look at him. You tell me if you think that individual is strong physically and is capable of, you know, leading a group of men through anything, any type of physical conflict where your life is on the line. That's the only time as a human being when your life is physically on the line, okay, you protect yourself. I don't think that guy is going to help anybody.
Well, Mike, did you have anything else there? We appreciate you calling in.
No, that's it. Just
one
out there.
Well, we finish it off for you. That was Jesse Lee Pearson right there. Black lesbians.
I want to kind of give some folks some information. One of our listeners contributed on our Facebook page.
Our PCP addicts?
Yes. Emily, she sent in, read The Marketing of Evil. The author makes a clear case of the militarization of why the LGBTQ agenda must be led by the black community.
Hmm.
And it is a complete Trojan horse because within that, they're still using the same tactic in DEI. Within DEI, that triggers the emotions of, oh, well, there isn't equality within the workforce, so we have to tell white folks how racist they are. Oh, on top of that, let's slide in these books, or let's slide in the LGBTQ, because they too are oppressed.
Well, we can put it this way. Now, we know our whole thing is protect the children, right? If you want to be legit quiet, if you want to be a cross-dresser, whatever it is, have at it. Be whatever you feel like you want to be, but just protect our children. We got to make sure we're not sexualizing our children. But it just comes back to protect them. They are little children that need to learn things as they grow older, preferably not from the government, but from the family unit that should be teaching them these things as opposed to the indoctrination in our city schools. But this is going to be something that's going to be very hard to hear, I guess. I can see how legitimate, or not even, I don't want to bring them all into this because it really is not, but they're not standing up enough, in my opinion, against what the very minority of the trans community is doing. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a very minority of this community who are going to say, oh, I should be able to utilize the bathroom with my full-on wang hanging out, right? There's not many people who would sit there and say, look, you know, how about you just go into the freaking the stall and use the bathroom, shut up, walk out, and not be waiting for little kids to come in for you to flash them, all right? There's a very, very small minority, just like there was in, let's just say, in the churches where there were pastors that were touching little boys as well. Mm. That's a fact. I'm willing to say that. Are you willing to say that? But we're all about protect the children. Doesn't it seem as though maybe this is a far reach here, but maybe they see the black community as they're not very good at protecting children because we see how they are very willing to kill them with abortion, very willing to subject them to government overreach, meaning putting them into indoctrination camps at our schools. Very willing to go after the teacher for their child not doing well in school, even though they don't do anything at school with them. Mm-hmm. They're very willing to kick the father out of the house rather and take that big daddy government money rather than working it out and figuring out how to make the family unit work. It just seems as though the numbers point to man, if we were to go after the children, if we can connect the suffrage of the black community with the struggle that we had to go through, it may be a far-fetched there, but, you know, there's so much going on with our kids right now. I don't even know how to connect it all. Mm-hmm. But it's not Latinos who are out there. Now they're pushing the Latinx crap to where now Latinos are connected with the queens, the drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting them out on shows at the international market. We're talking about a taxpayer-funded cross-dressing show for kids on taxpayer-funded land.
Mm-hmm.
That means your tax money is going to pay for that. I had an issue with that, and I brought it up, and I was lambasted by the Latinx community. And I said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think about me when I sit there and say that not every family wants to see that, and especially being right across the street from St. Michael's Church. You're talking about a church that I guarantee they would accept you. They'll say, look, we love you. But maybe you shouldn't be dancing erotically in front of little kids. Maybe you shouldn't be grabbing dollar bills from little kids' hands into mm-hmm. your mouth. Like, maybe that's not the best way to help raise this kid. I see the Latino community being dragged into this. And I am one of very few who are willing to stand up and say, stop the freaking nonsense.
Well, that's the point, Jose. Just to answer the question why they're using the black community, they've had years, they have decades of practice within this. The black men within the communities of the city, they moved out of the way. The women came and replaced them. That's why we have the women today, the legitimate quad leaders of the BLM, doing what they did. Okay, but back in the day, we had individuals like Stokely Carmichael, who was MLK's right-hand man. Okay, he was talking about revolution. The only way you have a revolution is if you fight for the revolution. This is nothing but socialist, Marxist rhetoric.
Do you not agree with that?
Absolutely not.
You shouldn't fight for a revolution.
For what reason are you fighting for? What are you fighting for?
The underlying cause is certainly...
Yes, your rights within the system is protected by your amended rights, okay? Just like anybody, once the government or any government violates that, you go through the civil process. You go through the Supreme Court process.
And you said it perfectly, Lavelle. You said our rights are protected by it. It's not given to us.
It's not given to us. It's protected. And when you accept yourself as separate from the overall community or government, and you classify yourself as a oppressed or impoverished or the victim, you will stay in that state forever. You will never get out unless someone educates you, empowers you, teaches you about the importance of individuality, because that's what we all are within this country.
But they won't allow it. They won't allow it. They'll call you a hater, a bigot, a sellout.
Of their play. Exactly. That's part of their play. But then when you go and you research the Cuban Revolution and the guy that I see, Colin Kaepernick, what's his name? Chavez? Hugo Chavez?
Hugo Chavez?
That man was responsible for thousands of deaths when Cuba took over the government, when that revolution took over the government, and they hailed that guy as a hero, misguided, miseducated ignorance.
And they're playing the Latino community just like they played the black community back in the day. They're playing us right now to shove it down our throats.
Don't have it, Jose.
Don't let it happen.
You are gay. Talk to your folks.
Talk to your peoples. All right, that's our episode today on WYSL radio station. Lavelle Lewis, myself, the Jose Pio. We got Bobby D back there. We are Politically Correcting Boys. We'll be right back on Wednesday at 1 p.m. See you then.